Welcome to Series 2 of the Social Care Podcast, Sharing Stories, with me, Audrey Moore, and David Bagnall, aka Baggy.
This podcast is for the benefit of anyone working in or studying social care. We like to chat with interesting people in the social care world and hear their stories.
Welcome to Episode 3 of Series 2 of the Social Care Podcast. This episode is still taken from the Social Care Ireland Conference in collaboration with Social Care Ireland. However, this week we are talking to people about the mentoring programme that happened at the Social Care Ireland Conference. We have the coordinator of this mentoring programme, Aido McKenna, and Aido needs no introduction. He was a guest of ours on Season 1. He's also well known in social care, especially for anyone who follows the Social Care Workers Facebook page. We also have one of the mentors, that's Paul McDonnell, and we have one of the students that was involved in the programme, that's Tina. Baggy, what did you think of the mentoring programme?
I thought overall the addition of so many young students, young social care workers at an event with so many dyed-in-the-wool social care workers, it lended a whole new layer to the 2 days. I found that people were willing to share and engage and have proper discussions with the young people. And I think maybe that in itself made people reflect on where social care has come from and where it's going.
Yeah, and I suppose we were all students once, and it's great to see young people coming to conferences like this, because quite often there's, you know, old ones like me, old lads like you at the conferences, and to have new people there and to see that it's not all fuddy-duddy, you know, it's a bit of fun, it's a bit of learning, you meet loads of new people, and, you know, overall it's really brilliant. And I know that the mentors and students got a lot out of the few days.
I think that a lot of new information has come into the field since you and I got our degrees and started working in social care. And maybe we don't revisit new theories and new themes as much as we should. And I think that having the young social care workers around maybe gave us a little nudge to say, you have to look and see what the younger, the new generation are bringing into services that we work in. And I think that's a very positive and a very forward-thinking thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. Baggy and I are delighted to be collaborating with Social Care Ireland to bring you this podcast, recorded at the Social Care Ireland Conference 2023. However, Social Care Ireland do not endorse any products or services mentioned, and the opinions expressed are individual's own and not representative of Social Care Ireland. Now we have a man who kind of doesn't need any introductions here. We have Aido McKenna, the award winner for Contributor of the Year last year for Social Care. And he's back to have a chat with us about the conference this year. So Aido, what have you enjoyed most about the conference this year?
Been a busy one for me. We took a mentorship program this year. We expanded something we'd done the year before. So we brought a group of students who we thought wouldn't ordinarily be at conferences or wouldn't come to conferences. They were, you know, they were young students who had different pathways in their own lives, and we assessed as kind of needing a bit of support. So we got that group of students, and Social Care Ireland supports them. We got a group of mentors, and we brought them together, and we came down the night before the conference and kind of established what we were going to do to kind of support each other. And I personally haven't been mentoring anyone. I've been just kind of facilitating the group.
You're coordinating.
Yeah. But it's been stressful.
Yeah.
It's been a stressful conference.
Well, what are the challenges?
So the challenges are that when you decide to do something like that, I see everyone as a peer. You know, that's the way I view people in social care, as my peer. I don't change how I interact with people because they're directors and managers or whatever. But I also recognize that some of the students we brought come with vulnerabilities, you know, and they're adults, they're responsible to look after themselves. But when you invite them into your space, you're also responsible for, and that's what social care is about. So it's about recognizing their vulnerabilities and teeing up the mentors then to give them that extra little bit of support if they need. And something as simple for some of them as deciding what talk or lecture you want to go to can be very complex for some of them, you know.
The titles.
But they're like, what does it even mean sometimes? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sort of academic language, they just, even though they're 3 years in college, they just haven't fine-tuned it. So, like, I just spent a lot of my time just, you know, putting an arm around the mentors and going, look, you know, drive the students forward, really look after them, be very protective of them. You know, try and give them the best of us as an example of what professional social care looks like. That's what I wanted to happen. And that's why I've kind of been sitting with anxiety over the last 2 or 3 days. You know, I've loved the conference. My anxiety hasn't stopped me enjoying the conference. I've loved the conference. And I think you would agree, the energy down here is phenomenal. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, seeing so many young people around, it's not a huge group.
Yeah.
But still, it seems like social care workers in general who have spotted them have made time for them. And they've raised the bar.
Yeah.
They've made the social care workers raise the bar because they want to be seen in a positive light and to give a positive influence on these young people.
Yeah, you're dead right, Peggy. I mean, on the first night we were down here, like I've been working on this for half a year, and on the first night, Charlotte Bourke and Dave Dorney took time out in our evening and came in and sat with them. And like, Charlotte Bourke and Dave Dorney are two seasoned professionals, you know what I mean? But they took their time out of the night and they came in and sat with them. And just, they were both just lovely the way they expressed the pleasure at having the students here and the significance that they seen in that, you know? And when the two of them left the studio, you could see the students were, they were visibly lifted, you know? And I had a couple of them sitting with me through the day. And you're right, all the other professionals are, and what are you here for? I'm one of the mentees on the program. So, what's that like for you? And they're just feeling lifted by the whole thing, you know. So we'll assess it afterwards and in 2 months.
You'll do your evaluation.
Yeah.
So tell me, what is your vision for the student mentor program going forward?
Yeah, so our plan is in year 3, 2 years' time, that this group of students become the mentors.
Okay.
That's the plan. So that they're all finishing or have just finished. So in 2 years, year three, they'll be in work, they'll be earning money, they'll have much more financial capital to be able to come and do something like this, and that they become the mentors. So, you know, I'll keep a spreadsheet over the next couple of years. I'll have all the contact details, and as we get towards the tour year, I'll be inviting them back in as the mentors.
So it sounds like, you know, this picture we've seen throughout the years, the hands with the clay and the seedling.
Yeah.
And this actually seems like putting that into practice,
yeah,
like nurturing the future students. Like, we all know that picture and you have to think, what does it mean?
Yeah.
But it's, you're putting it in practice now.
Yeah. And for me, it's, I'm, you know, if you look at Belbin's teams, you know, and so I'm kind of the ideas man, you know what I mean? But I'm never a great finisher. I never have been. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I'd write the first 1500 words of an essay and 10 weeks later be writing the last 5, you know, with 2 o'clock in the morning. So the idea is that I push this, I've committed to it for a few years, and the idea then is it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I walk away.
But I like that about when we're having these chats, is that you know your strengths,
yeah,
and you know you need other people to do things. And I think that's a great thing about a team.
Yeah.
And I think having young people around, and when they find out that, oh, like, he's good at that, she's good at that, they're good, I don't have to be great at everything.
Yeah.
You know, give them that sense that everybody isn't great at everything.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday, last night when Dave asked me up just to say a few words, like, you know, me and Dave Dorney had a debate, because I wanted the mentors to pull the money out of their own pocket and pay for the students. And that was more about me, Baggy, than anything else. Because my personal integrity was like, when I did it last year, I was like, this is me giving something back.
Yeah.
And it was important for me.
Not for investment.
Yeah, and like, as you know, now, like, me and Neil have just done it. We didn't announce it last year. We didn't say anything about it. We just went ahead and did it. Because for us, it was important, right? And when I sat with Dave didn't see that as being as important for him, right? He was like, let's get it done. Now, Dave's like a let's get it done person, you know what I mean? So he's going, I'll just pay for it, you know, I'll just, you know, because obviously he owns a large business, you know. And I was hard.
But sometimes the process is more important.
That's what I said last night. In the end, we met halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Dave was going, look, think of the value of your idea and what that'll look like.
But when the students know that there was effort put into 100%. Getting them here instead of just writing a letter and getting it back, they appreciate that.
So I'm all about the practicalities about these things. Yeah. And I always want to know, well, how does this work? And I suppose for anybody who is maybe interested in being a mentor or being a student coming along on the mentorship program next year, like what is involved for the mentors? What do they have to commit to?
So when I met the mentors for the first time on Tuesday night, we all sat down together. And my instructions to the mentors were that whatever the student wants to do, you do. So it basically... you have no control over your participation at the conference.
Okay.
It's controlled by the student. So if the student wants to go to lecture A and lecture B and lecture C, that's what you go to, whether you like it or not. So you're like a limpet on their hip.
Right.
Yeah. Arrange in the evening what time you go for breakfast, sit and have breakfast with them, sit and have lunch with them. And in the intervening time, you know, they can go their own way if they want. But all the important together functions are done together. And the idea behind that is when they both go to one of the talks, when they come out and they're having lunch or they're having it, then they talk about what the talk was about. Right. So that the mentor can put the frontline professional head version of what they heard, and the student can put the version that they heard, and hopefully there's a developmental piece then for the student. But the extraordinary thing is, and I didn't see this coming at all, was the two mentors came to me last night and were like, this has been the best experience in social care for me ever. I was immediately thinking that they're just going to be so good and so functional and so able, what they got out of it. And that's only after the first day. So two of them, I was sitting in reception, two of them came to me and said, Ada, I'm so happy that you let us do this. This has been such an amazing experience. And that's the way me and Nuala felt last year, but I didn't think of the bigger picture of how it would unpack. Because, you know, we knew what we wanted to do. We were joyous from day one. These people just came in and volunteered and had no idea what it was going to look like.
Yeah, and I suppose as social care workers, we always get great joy out of helping other people. Yeah. And this is an example of that. So they're helping people, and they're helping people who are possibly grateful and really, you know, enjoying it as well. So I can understand why they would really enjoy that.
Yeah, amazing. And like, you know, we'd young people who come through the care system, we've people who've had a long journey with addiction recovery, we have people who are living on the spectrum, we have people who grew up with people who are just living with anxiety and mental health issues, you know. So students who had complex journeys into college and complex journeys, while three who came through the access programs. You know, and I interviewed every one of them, not to see if they were deserving, but to see if they understood why I wanted them on the program. Do you know what I mean? Mm. To see if they understood the nature of, look, you've lived with this and you've really struggled to get through certain things in your life. Now we want to just give you that extra little lift. And none of those students would have been at this conference.
But there's a lot of young people who go through situations like that, and nobody can put into words the value that their experience, whether it's good or bad, is for shaping them.
Yeah.
And to have someone like yourself and your mentors to explain that to them, that just because you went through something bad doesn't mean it has to be bad forever.
Yeah.
You know, you can use it for good.
So, Ado, it's been an absolute pleasure, as always, talking to you.
Yeah, thanks to the series for continuing to do this.
You're welcome. This podcast is sponsored by Trust Social Care Consultancy. If you want to get in touch with Audrey, please go to www.trustconsultancy.ie. Now back to the podcast.
Now we'd like to welcome Paul MacDonald, who works in Cronaghnua. And I'd like to welcome you to the Social Care Podcast. Would you like to give us a little bit about yourself, where you work, and why you like social care?
Yeah, so as you said, my name is Paul. I got into social care because you could say I have some personal experience in that field. I know what it's like to have trauma in my life, you know, like so forth. So I understand that. That's the reason why I went into social care. I love what I do because I work with young people and very passionate about young people and reaching young people early intervention. I'm very interested in. I work up in Clonoke now in special care. I'm a social care worker up there, and I'm on the social care, Tewsley social care recruitment team. So I go out and recruit students and schools and colleges and things like that. And this year I'm after being asked to do for Tewsley, you know, special care, I'm asked to being asked to do the student mentoring. And so yeah, that's what I do. I work in special care. So
and Clonoke knew it. It's a very specific niche of social care workers. What drew you to that area?
Yeah, it's very specific. It's the highest form of care you can give a child in social care in relation to all these names, but challenging behaviour, people with, you know, a lot of trauma in their life, and there's a reason they go into special care, and it's a three-month high court order, and they can be an extended dependent on the child and stuff. Or I suppose the reason I went in is because I've worked in addiction, I've worked in homelessness, I've worked in aftercare, I've worked in residential care, I've worked in all forms of different disabilities, ID, Asperger's, all of these different services, and I love them. So the reason I wanted to go into special care was, into Tewsley was, because I worked in the aftercare service, and I seen the way the kids were in the system, and I just wanted to go into the main hub, if you'd like to call it that, and I wanted to see what was going on. And if I could implement something out of my professional experience, my educational, or my anything like that to just make a difference in the child's life, that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I had a big interest in the youth. You know?
Well, this is where we've spoken to other people over the couple of days, and we're saying that it's very important to find the place you need to be. Because we spend a lot of time going from situation, job to job, and we're not always in the right job at the right, that's right for us when we need it. So it sounds like you found something that really suits you.
Yeah, I think when you talk to any professional, they move around. Some of them get burned out, some of them get financial. Mm-hmm. You know, it tenders different to other people. But for me, because I could say I have personal experience, I have a passion for that. So I needed to find where I could suit myself, that I would be best used to help the person that I'm supporting at the time. And everywhere I went, I've loved this because I have a passion for this type of work. But I found myself in Clonoke, and I think I'll retire there because it is the highest form of challenge and behaviour, let's put it out there too, so do get a bad name. But I work in a fantastic facility, and the reason that I will stay there is because of the care and the support that I get there. So I get supervision every 2 weeks. I have EAP for the counselling service. I have a fantastic person in charge, Jackie McCann. You know, I have Mark and Jackie are great. They provide a lot of supports to us. I have a great team around me, a solid team around me, and I know that I can grow there. And that's that. Not only am I supporting the kids, but it's a place where I'm encouraged to grow.
Very good. And when I met you in person for the first time a few days ago, you told me you loved social care, absolutely love it, and it's coming across very clear that you have that you're very passionate about your work. So here we are down at the Social Care Ireland Conference. Tell us what your key highlights have been so far.
Well, to everybody it's different, but to me it's the student that I'm mentoring. I was asked to come on board the mentorship program, and I'm here today representing Clonoke New as a student mentor. And I have to tell you, I'm working with this young girl, and she's very young, but she's fabulous. I'm learning more from her than I am from the speakers. She's very focused. She's up in the morning. She's planning her day. She's booking her courses. And I'm absolutely bursting with pride to see a young girl like this with a bright career and a bright future in front of her. As a matter of fact, my feedback is that she'll come back next year and be a mentor herself. She's
already.
Already, yeah.
And Yeah, thanks for being on the mentor program. That's a great experience. Yeah. Would you recommend that for other people next year?
Absolutely, I recommend that anybody. It's very rewarding. It's very uplifting, and you know, I'd highly recommend that Social Care Ireland go forward with this, because I'm, as a mentor, I'm in that circle listening to the students, and they're just bursting with pride. And, you know, just to know that, you know, people are thinking of them and promoting their professional development is just, this is why I do social care.
Yeah.
It's not about me. People say, well, it is about me. Of course it has to be about me, you know, but it's about the people that I support. And I like to see people take control of their own lives. If I can help someone help themselves, I will sleep happy.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, Paul, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you so much for coming on the Social Care Podcast, and the best of luck in your career.
Been great to have you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Tina, who's a recent graduate of TU Dublin Grange Gorman. Tina is on the student mentoring program this year, and she was mentored by Paul. So Tina, tell us how you got into social care, or what made you be interested in social care?
So I came to Ireland when I was 3, and we grew up in direct provision. So we were moved from hostel to hostel. So we originally came here and lived in Dublin for a week, and that was signing on to the immigration services and all. And then we moved to Kildare, Kilmare, Killarney, Tralee, Dundalk, Ballyhadrian, and then we lived in a hostel on Leeson Street, then we lived in self-catering apartments on the quays for 5.5 years, and then we got our stamp war cards, which gives us permission to live, study and work in Ireland. And growing up in that kind of environment, you're always seeing, like, being disadvantaged, you're being treated differently because you're not from the same place as other people, and you're like a minority group as it is, but you're already being stigmatized no matter what you do and who you go to talk to about anything. So in my eyes, I wanted to do something different about that. I wanted to make sure people growing up or people in any situation, not just specifically direct provision, but that was the main focus I was drawn to, was giving back. Because if I knew that I had somebody growing up while I was in direct provision to help me with anything, or just emotionally, having that emotional support there with the people who worked in the buildings or any of the colleagues and stuff like that, that we'd have to go to if there was any concerns or issues, and having somebody that we could actually go to where they didn't feel like you're being threatened with deportation because you had the cheek to actually stand up and say, oh, something's not working. Or like when I was younger, I walked into a bathroom because we had shared bathrooms for a floor full of like 36 families, and there was a man using a urinal, and he screamed the head off me to get out of the bathroom. And my dad had went down to management and said, that's not okay. My daughter's, I think I was like 10 years of age or something at the time. And he was like, she can't be exposed to stuff like that. It's not okay. It's not right. But then they turned up my dad to make him feel like, you come back and complain about something like this again, you'll be deported for it. And so in my eyes, it wasn't fair to see even my mom and dad grow through it alone, me and my sisters and my brothers, because we're a big family, sharing 2 bedrooms, as a family of 7. So just, it wasn't a great upbringing. So that's kind of what drew me to helping people who are being marginalized, are being like in disadvantaged situations, and are constantly being put down by society or put down by specific people, whether it be in the likes of being homeless and not having that support to actually get a house, or whether that be with drugs and alcohol, whether that be kids just from disadvantaged areas who don't have the resources that are available to other kids from better areas or better, more income parents and stuff. So being able to give back, it is like kind of, I found to be my sense of purpose, really. So being able to have that sort of stability in their life, whether it's me having to sit down and a cup of tea with them, or a conversation, or anything really.
So you feel that lived experience has really given you a push to do social care?
Yeah.
And tell us where you're working now.
So I started working in Gael Autism Services while I was still in college as a relief worker. And then I progressed. So I did my final year placement in Crosscare in their Fingless Youth Services. So now I got a job through that, and they started straight after I finished my placement in December. And I've been working the 2 jobs since.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Loving the work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very inspiring.
So can you see yourself doing this long term? And have you got aspirations to do more?
Yeah, so currently where I'm at is I'm moving on to the relief panel in Crosscare to get a sense of the homeless sector and seeing how I can give back there, or even doing relief work. They opened up a migrant service over in, I think it's Swords. I went down to one of the Holiday Inn. I went over to it with one of the women there. We were doing acupuncture for family sports, and I found it to be incredible. Like, I seen the work that they did. So even to get into doing relief there like that, And then maybe if down the line I want to go into that, so having that connection where I'm already in cross care and I could just move from one sector to the other, and then probably progress in my career in wherever I see myself being drawn.
Even as you're saying, like the different areas that you've experienced and where you want to go, it's kind of like what we have been discussing about young social care workers is trying to find the right space for you to do your best work. And you seem to have a very definite idea of what you'd like to do, as Audrey was saying, because of your learned experience, and you can't buy that. You know, that's a power to spur you on. And I think a lot, even the older speakers, our own age and that we were speaking to, they all have a backstory like that there was something happened that ignited the passion for doing social care work. And you seem to be following along in an excellent line of people like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about the student mentor program. How have you found that?
Actually, Aido found me out. So when I started doing my placement in Crosscare, he found out that I was part of the Access, and he asked me if I would mind doing it, if I'd be interested in doing it. And I said, yeah, 100% I would be. And then I found out then from my college as well. So my college had contacted me on top of it, asking, oh, would you be interested because you're an Access student? And that's the kind of area that I got kind of aiming for. And I was like, I'm already doing it. I was like, but I am going. Like, and they were like, oh, that's amazing. So that's how I found out about it. And it was probably one of the most amazing experiences.
Well, can I ask that besides the conference, being here with the group and your mentor, how do you interact with your mentor outside? Like, and how long has it been going on, and what does it entail?
So I met my mentor, Paul, Tuesday evening when we all got together. We had we had a drink and a bit of food down the bar. It was great. We clicked very well. His personality is very outgoing, very bubbly, and I tend to be quite similar. So we do have a relationship like now built both for the peer mentoring and also just for like our day-to-day going through the whole day and stuff. So like we go shops and stuff like that together. Like we're after been doing everything together the last 2 days, like whether it's part of the program or whether it's not, like I've been building that relationship and stuff, and he's been pushing me because I was thinking about doing a master's one day, and there was a little handout yesterday from TU Dublin saying about the master's, and he was pushing me straight up looking for funding for me and stuff like
brilliant.
That. It's just amazing. I was just like, thanks for that.
And what is the best thing about this conference that you've seen over the last 2 days?
I wouldn't say just one specific thing, but if I was to say I was drawn to something, it would have been between two workshops that I've done so far. That was Brian Penny's one.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also did just there the Too Fat, Too Old, Too Insane, and Too Deviant. Absolutely brilliant. Mind-boggling. Like, I've never actually experienced something like that, where it was like people fighting for different perspectives and being able to respect and understand that as much that would go against your beliefs and your values and your practices as a person. Like, you still have to respect it and understanding where they're coming from is just fantastic, to be honest.
So do you, as a student, do you think the conference is worthwhile coming to?
100%. I'm after having probably the most amazing experience of my life between growing up to being in college to start working in the sector. This is probably one of the most biggest highlights of my life.
So it probably goes without saying, but you'll be back next year.
Oh, 100%. Whether it's with the peer mentoring program or whether it's with myself.
Well, Paul spoke very well, and he said he could see you coming back as a mentor yourself.
Yeah. So Tina, it's been absolutely a pleasure talking to you. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much. Great to hear your story.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely, it was great.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us on our next episode as we chat with the award winners from this year's Social Care Ireland Conference. Take care.